the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Just some practical things came up in my heart today about some things that, because some you can get the idea if you're only hearing one message, maybe just faith and authority of the believer or something, you can get the idea that some of the things that the Bible talks about that old-timers used to understand aren't important anymore because we have knowledge of faith and so forth. I think it's important that we have a well-rounded knowledge of how to succeed and so forth and so on. So we're going to look at tonight some of the blessings and benefits of learning to wait on God. Learning to wait on God. As a pastor, I've learned different people have different needs, and we can't just stay on one subject all the time. Which not anything wrong with doing something, a subject for a season, if that's what the unction's on. But people need all different kinds of things. Tell your neighbor, I'm a people, and I need all different kinds of things. And so we're going to look here at some of the blessings and benefits of waiting on God. I want you to notice here, 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Amen. Say, our inward man is renewed day by day. Isaiah chapter number 40 is another passage that mentions this, but it does mention waiting on the Lord. Pentecostals used to understand waiting on the Lord. I'm talking about the old day Pentecostals. And sometimes today, people sort of have the idea, well, we understand faith. You know, I just make my confessions of faith and I go my way. But yet, right on the other hand, your faith needs constant refreshings. It does. Your faith, your spirit, your inward man needs constant renewal. The inward man, he said there, is renewed day by day. Do you realize that the new birth, I don't know if you thought much about this, the new birth is it makes us a new creation on the inside. But that doesn't mean that that's the end of the Holy Spirit's ministry within our spirit. He made us alive to God, made us brand new, but there is, according to this verse, a renewing of the inward man that should be taking place day by day.
Amen.
Isn't that what that verse says? The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. That's your spirit man. Amen. That's the part that got born again. So the Holy Spirit's ministry wasn't done in your spirit the day you got born again. Or the day after you got born again. He came to live in you and he has a ministry inside of you. Amen. He's not just a hitchhiker.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He's not just along for the ride, so to speak. He's in there with a ministry.
Yes, sir.
And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot I thank God about the Holy Spirit and his ministry. I mean, how on earth could you ever, you know, express all the thanks that you have for what he does on the inside of you? I mean, he is teacher, he is guide, he is helper, he is counselor, he's strengthener. He's the comforter, and you can go on and on and on. But here's one I need regularly, and that is to receive strength and renewal in my inner man. And if you think you don't need that, then you don't realize what your needs really are. Isaiah 40 talks about this. Let's start in verse number 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. Anybody ever grown faint, grown weary? He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So this is not just talking about a young youthful strength here. He's talking about even young men can come to the end of their strength. But they, verse 31 is what we're getting to. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So once again, we see that there is an inward renewal that can be taken place, that should be taken place. And he mentions one of the ways that God does this in our lives. He calls it waiting on the Lord. Now, waiting on the Lord doesn't mean you sit and twiddle your thumbs until he does something. If you look closely at the subject, it means to minister to him, to look to him, to seek him, to pray, to fellowship with him. In our case, we understand in the New Testament, pray in other tongues. It says that's the rest and the refreshing. And so that's what waiting on the Lord means. And we could take a lot of time on that, but just for time's sake, we'll define it that way. So we find also then in Psalm 27, let's go back to this passage. We'll kind of use all these as our text. Psalm 27, look at verse number 13 and 14. Psalm 27, it tells us in verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have fainted. The Amplified says, what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? What would have become of me? Well, we can all answer that. We know the answer to that question. Amen. We would have sunk. We would have been defeated. We'd have gone under. We'd have quit. We'd have thrown in the towel. We'd have said, you know, I'm not serving God anymore. We'd have been done a long time ago. If we hadn't, you know, kept believing God to see some things. Here down here, he calls it the land of the living. This is right here, right now. Amen. So if we don't learn to tap into the power of God in the circumstances we face in life, really, there's going to be, we're going to be left to our own ability and producing whatever our own ability can produce and eking out any victory that we can eke out by our own wit and grit, which sometimes we can make something happen, but a lot of times it fails after we make it happen. You know what I'm talking about. And most of the time, we can't eke out anything. I mean, we go through all the motions, but nothing happens. Amen. Tell your neighbor he's preaching good already. Besides that, in times of attack of the enemy, your power and your grit and wit is no match for the devil. You got to know that. In your humanity, you're no match for his cunningness. I'm not talking about with the help of the Holy Spirit. When you got the help of the Holy Spirit and you learn to tap into that by waiting on him, getting answers, getting direction, hearing from God, so forth and so on, being renewed in your spirit, well, the devil's no match for you as you tap into that. But I'm talking about you without that, just in your humanity, you're really no match for him. He'll outwit you, outsmart you, outthink you, outmaneuver you, and me. I mean, it's just, hello, tell your neighbor he's preaching the truth about you, whether you realize it or not. Amen. You're no match for him. In your own ability, you're helpless. You're weak. You're defenseless. You're empty. Amen. And so you and I have got to learn to tap into something greater than ourselves. Yes. Praise the Lord. And so what we're going to talk about tonight is developing the spiritual discipline. Listen to these three words. This is the way the Lord said it to me this afternoon. The spiritual discipline, developing the spiritual discipline, the spiritual skill, and the spiritual habit of waiting on the Lord so that we can be successful in our spiritual life. Spiritual discipline. Did you get those three words? Spiritual skill and the spiritual habit of waiting on the Lord so we can be successful in our spiritual lives. Amen. This is a secret. People that make it in their spiritual life, people that are successful in their walk with God, people that fulfill the call of God on their life, whatever that might be, business or ministry or whatever, people that really know God.
Yes, sir.
People that just make it through what others fall into and sink into and drown in. They have a little known secret in the modern day charismatic church. It's called waiting on God. Waiting on God. Amen. And so really the spiritual discipline of waiting on God in prayer and fellowship and so forth with God is really a lost art in the body of Christ today. And you need to realize that you don't just faith it through everything without going to the source of strength to feed that faith, to renew your strength, and to get some courage again. And come on now. And to get back up and go at it again when you were knocked down the last five times you went for it. Yeah, without going to the source, your faith is going to whimper. It's going to start whimpering and getting weak. Come on. How many of you notice in Joshua 1, God told Joshua over and over again, be strong and very courageous. Didn't he? Why did he tell him, be strong and very courageous? Because he said, I want you to go in and possess the land. I want you to go in and take Israel in to possess their inheritance. Well, notice he connected being courageous with having the strength of spirit that comes through feeding on the word, waiting on God, and fellowshipping with him.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, like, for example, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all those, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, and all those things, they all came into us in the new birth. And they're a part of our new nature. But what most Christians miss is that they are only there in seed form and only there they're undeveloped. Let's put it that way. They're undeveloped. And really, all those things, including all the forces of God, because God in all his ability lives on the inside of our spirit. And he has power within him, and you have that within you. But what we've got to realize is when it came into us at the new birth, it came in seed form. But not only did it come by the ministry of the Holy Spirit is there to continually strengthen that. But we have to wait on him and learn to and really the word wait here says they that wait on the Lord, Isaiah 40, it shall renew their strength. The word renew could be interpreted exchange. In other words, you give him your weakness and he gives you his power. And that doesn't happen because you just make faith confessions and praise God. Now, don't misunderstand me. You could hear me wrong what I just said. You have to go further than just waiting on the Lord and feeding on the Word and letting Him speak to you and breathe His life back into your spirit and into your faith and into your spiritual strength and so forth. You have to get that. But if you don't... If you just praise and confess and everything and don't feed your spirit, you're giving out, but you're not taking in. You can be strengthened by express. In fact, you must go beyond just waiting on the Lord and having that renewal come into your spirit. You must take that strength and begin to confess and begin to rejoice and begin to take steps towards what he's saying, et cetera, et cetera. It takes strength to do that, but you can't just do it. It's not just a matter of confession and acting. You must feed your spirit so you have the strength to confess and in the face of unbelief continue to say, no, this is the way he said it's going. Going to be.
Amen. That's
good. Am I making any sense tonight? And so what most Christians miss is that they received life into their spirit whenever they were born again, but the life of God within your spirit must be maintained. It's not necessarily a permanent deposit. It is a continual dependence. Get that. What you need, the strength you need just to keep on walking in love and keep on forgiving, for example. It's not just, okay, it's in there because I'm born again. That's true, but it needs to be fed. You need to continually take in of the very life and nature of God through fellowshipping with him and waiting on him in his presence. You know, when I say wait on him, I'm talking about like your razor or whatever, your electric toothbrush. It has to charge up again. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
At the time, you can't have it running all the time. You have to turn it off and let it get charged up.
Right.
Isn't that right? That's what I mean by waiting on the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, you got to get it off of there and use it or else your teeth are going to stink, you know.
<True story. laughs>
Yes, you. Praise the Lord. But the point I'm making is you just can't, you got to get it, yeah. get it charged up.
That's right. Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes. Amen.
Now think about this. The way I was thinking about this today, for example, the force of temperance, which is self-control within your spirit. It's the quality of spirit to control your flesh and your mind, to mortify the ungodly deeds of your body and so forth and so on. Anybody have ungodly deeds that your body wants to do? Yeah, Pastor. That was awfully sanctimonious of you to look at me like that. Amen. How about the ungodly desire to be fussy all the time and be strifeful with your spouse? Oh, Pastor, that's another area. No, that's what I'm talking about. Mortify those ungodly deeds of the body. Amen. And walk in the spirit, not walk in the flesh. That's the force of temperance. And that's in your spirit. But see, that can get weak. Isn't that right? How about the force of love? Amen. It's the quality of spirit that enables us to forgive, have mercy, return good for evil, and give and bless to others that don't do nice things to us. You're not going to do that as a weakling. Isn't that right? That's in you in the new birth. That love, that nature of love. The Bible said the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. That's in you and me by the new birth. But listen, we can get weak spiritually and not love, not have the quality of spirit to forgive, have mercy, return good for evil, or bless those that do evil to us. No, we just say, well, bless God, you're going to treat me that way. I'll talk bad about you and I'll smear your name all over. You know, we can act ugly just like anybody else can act ugly. Awfully quiet. How about the force of faith, which is the ability through God's word to move mountains, reign in life, receive blessings, overcome the world, see the invisible and act like it's reality. That's part of your recreated, born again human spirit. But that can get weak too, and we're overcome by what we see. Amen. We're not reigning in life. We're being reigned over. We're not moving mountains. We're crying about them. If we get weak, I'm talking about. Isn't that right? The same word that we receive, remember the incorruptible seed by which we're born again. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible. That same word by which we were born again when we believed on it, that same word that made us a new creation will keep that life renewed in our spirit. We must feed on it, but not just the letters on the page, the living word.
Yes, sir.
That written word brings us into fellowship with.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. It's got to be that way or we'll lose our vital connection with heaven. We'll be distracted by worldly things and earthly things, you know, in life. And then what Jesus said in John 15, ye abide in me, ye abide in me. And my word must abide in you. Abiding in him means, in other translations, maintain a living union with me. That is not automatic because you got born again. Born again is the first step of that. But if it's automatic just because you got born again, why would he say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you? To abide means to remain in that vital connection that God started through the new birth. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Maintain a living union with me. And so just like Jesus talked about in the vine and the branches, you know, the branch can only bear fruit unless it's connected to the vine. Or, you know, we think about an apple tree or something. You know, it has to stay connected. Isn't that right? We know all these things, but I'm talking about spiritual principles here. If we lose a vital connection, I'm not talking about we're not born again anymore. I'm talking about we haven't been feeding our spirit. We haven't been waiting on the Lord, fellowshipping with him, praying, worshiping God.
Yes, sir.
And listen, you need more than just Wednesday night and Sunday morning. What did we read? 2 Corinthians 4:16. The outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed.
Amen.
Wednesdays and Sundays.
No.
Huh? Day by day. You wouldn't think about going a day without eating food, not natural food.
Come
Why do people want to go a day without eating spiritual food and think they'll be okay? Come on. Then when they're not, wonder what's going on.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's no mystery.
Yes, sir.
Just like if you didn't eat all day and you're weak at the end of the day, no mystery. Amen. Isn't that right? I'm preaching real good. And so that same word that gave us the beginning, that gave us the new birth, that same word has the divine nature and life of God in it. And the Spirit of God within us will talk to us about God and His Word and keep on feeding that nature. But if we lose that vital connection, we know in our heads what we should be doing. We try to go through all the motions, but the strength isn't there to even do it. Amen. Am I preaching all right? We still know what we ought to be doing, but we don't have the strength within us to do it. Let's take faith, for example. We'll go through all the motions of faith and the confessions of faith. But because there's no strength and that faith is so weak and hasn't been fed, it's not producing anything. Well, praise the Lord. Now, so one way of maintaining spiritual strength, we understand, is feeding on the Word. But another way is waiting on the Lord in prayer. Amen. And so let's talk about that a little bit. Would that be all right? We've been talking about this past Sunday and then Wednesday before that, we talked about His plan for us to always be victorious and overcoming all these things. Remember all those things we listed and so forth. But you and I don't have the power to live that way if we're constantly not built up in our spirit man. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, are you in Psalm 27, yes, verse number 13? I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. A lot of times people stop believing what they can't see because they've gotten faint. Their spirit man has grown weak. I'm not talking about their mind. I'm not talking about their body. They're eating three hot meals a day. They're keeping their mind active and it's alert and sharp and so forth and so on. But I'm not talking about our minds or our bodies. I'm talking about the condition of our spirits. Brother Copeland had a vision years ago. He was in a ministry line ministering to people and the Lord said, stop and look. And he looked down the line and the Lord opened his spiritual eyes and he could see, rather than the people in the line, he could see their spirit man rather than their natural man. And he said the most gross thing was most of them had these little wee emaciated bodies and these great big old heads. He said they had heads full of knowledge, but spirits were weak. And then the Lord explained, he said that's why so few of them actually ever received their healing.
All right.
I don't know about you. I don't want to be like that.
No, sir. Come on.
Are we learning anything tonight?
Yes, sir, we are.
We're not talking about a physical edification or a mental edification, but your spirit must be edified. It must be edified. Let's read verse 14 in Psalm 27. Wait on the Lord. Remember the verse talking about I had fainted unless I had believed to see. Here's one of the keys to not fainting. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and He will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, my. So we got to learn to do this. I said, we got to learn to wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. In the trials and tests of life, I need something that fills up my spirit, not something that entertains my flesh. Recreation's fine. Enjoying things that we enjoy, entertainment or whatever, that's fine. But listen, there's a lot of people that think, I just need a break, and they go recreate or entertain themselves somewhere other, that they do nothing to get to the core of why they're so weak all the time. They don't do anything to fill up their spirits. Are you still with me? The greater one on the inside of you will rise up and put you over with the strength of His might if you will do what is necessary to tap into His power. Amen. If you're fainting and getting tired, always giving up on faith projects, you know what I'm talking about? Getting worn out spiritually, you're not renewing your inner man. If you keep on renewing your inner man, even when the hard times come, you'll reach down on the inside. The only way I know how to describe it is that Chrysler 300, 1973, if I remember right, Chrysler 300 that my dad had that had a four-barrel carburetor on it. I need some low-pitch amens. Amen. Hallelujah, Pastor. How many of you guys remember those four-barrel carburetors? I mean, that car, I remember my brothers getting me in the back seat one day. They were older than me. And we went out on Interstate 81. They said, my dad never did open it up. We're going to find out how fast this thing goes. And at over 110 mile an hour, the front end started getting a little light, so they shut it back down, you know. They were smart. They had a few brain cells left in their head. They've grown three or four after that, since that time. Hi, brothers. But you know what I'm talking about? But see, when my brothers hit that, whenever they hit that gas, there was this sound. It went, and it did something like that. Because it kicked that four-barrel carburetor in. And if you tap into the greater one on the inside of you, even when tests and trials come, you won't be giving up and quitting and getting your binky out spiritually and sucking your thumb and looking for your blankie and curling up in a ball. Yes, sir. You'll go, boom, wah. Hey! Bring it on, Mr. Devil. Because you've been renewing your strength. And that strength has been sitting there ready for you to tap into it. Just waiting for you to hit the gas pedal, man. That's what you need in the trials of life. There's nothing more disheartening than in a test and trial reaching down for something on the inside of you to put you over and coming up with a fistful of nothing. That's disheartening, man. Praise the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. So you and I've got to keep on developing our spirits, keep on feeding our spirits. You won't be able to stand strong against the enemy as an empty vessel. You realize that. Part of taking victories and, you know, victory after victory, like what we were talking about, is being filled constantly with this greater one on the inside of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he tells us in Isaiah how to do it. Did you see that? They that wait on the Lord. So those that continually do that, come before God and spend these times in prayer, waiting on God, they will be what he called renewed in their spirits. Isn't that what he said? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And Paul said, the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed. That's the spirit man, renewed. Amen. So there is a refreshing and a renewal that can come on the inside of your inner man that puts you over in the tests of life. And guess what? It'll affect your mind. It'll affect your emotions. It'll affect your attitude. It'll affect your outlook on life. Rather than blame everybody else for all your problems, you won't be agitated all the time. It'll even affect your body. Amen. The Lord said to me one time, he said, strength is spiritual. Well, it has to be, because guess what? Whenever the spirit man leaves, guess what's going to happen to your body? Poof! It's going to fall over. We call it dead. With no power in it. No power in it. It can't do anything. Has no ability. So of course it's spiritual. When the Lord said that, it just kind of opened my eyes. And so a lot of people that are constantly weak and dragging and not thrilled with life and don't have any hope or future to look forward to. They do, but they can't see it.
Come on.
That's because of weakness. Amen. Glory to God. Aren't you glad God has made a continuous supply available to us? You know, people are always looking for renewable resources. This is the most renewable power on the planet. All of us could go home right now. The whole body of Christ could go home right now and wait on the Lord, and the lights of heaven would not go dim because there's such a power draw. There would be no lack of power to surge into every person's spirit waiting on him all at the same time. Praise the Lord. So let's learn about it. What do you say? Like I say, one way to do this is feed on the Word, but we've got to learn to wait on the Lord. too many times whenever we feed on the Word, we kind of do it mentally. We're not feeding on it and fellowshipping with it in our spirits. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, write that down and ask God to explain that to you. I could take time tonight, but I don't have time tonight. So praise the Lord. I believe in waiting on the Lord. In fact, it's the reason I'm going good and strong at 50. I think I'm 50 years old. Going good and strong. It's because I'm not just, you know, preachers burn out. You ever heard preachers burning out? You know what burnout is? It's giving out without taking in.
All right.
That's what burnout is.
Yeah, come on.
Why does your cell phone give out? Because you kept using it without charging it. Spiritual burnout is no different. Whimpering to an unsuccessful end to a faith project is just simply because you didn't keep taking in. You know, can't even hardly get to the finish line right there, you know. And you collapse. And you never finish any faith project. You never see it. There it is. Praise God. We got the victory. It's because of weakness. Am I preaching all right? I believe in waiting on God. The Word of Faith Camp just kind of thinks we can confess our way through everything. Confession should be done out of the strength of spirit that was taken in through waiting on God. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, Ephesians 3:16, Paul said the same thing in one sense of the word. He talks about being strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Isn't that right? Ephesians 6:10 talks about be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He's talking about a spiritual strength, not a physical strength. And so through times of waiting on the Lord, ministering to Him, praying, feeding on His Word, praying in other tongues, so forth and so on, we are ministering to our inward man. You and I have got to learn that practice. Minister to your inward man. Some people, because they're so carnal, the devil takes advantage of times of being quiet and feeding on the Word or fellowshipping with God, and he tells them, you're just wasting time. Well, you should be out there doing this. You should be doing that. Well, because the devil takes advantage of their lack of ignorance of the importance of ministering to their inward man. Your inward man needs some food, needs some life. You need some energy, the life and power of God to surge into him again. Oh, I love this subject. Acts 3:19, there's where Peter was preaching, and he said, talking about the church age, he said, times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. Yes. Say that out loud, times of refreshing. Amen. So there's a great refreshing. That's a similar word to a renewal, isn't there? That can take place in your spirit. And he talks about it happening in the presence of the Lord. Do you see that? Acts 3:19. Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You and I need regular times in the presence of the Lord. You need regular, daily. Sometimes you need more than daily. You need almost hourly. I need to get away over here with Jesus for 5 minutes, man. Yeah. And he said it comes from the presence of the Lord. Yes, notice it's plural. Yeah. Times. Yeah. In other words, it's not something that happens one time. Yeah. Or when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost or something. This can be as regular as you need it or as you want it.
Amen.
Praise God. Times. Say it out loud. Times of repression. Not just one time, but times. We have to have continual times of refreshing that we set ourselves, set aside other things and set aside time in His presence of prayer and fellowship with God. We set it aside on purpose and say, there's nothing else that takes this time. My wife and I respect that with one another. You know, I get up earlier than her normally because she's up later than me normally. And that's fine, just different people, different ways. But so I'm usually up and have my time with the Lord. I do mine in the morning. There's no, you know, just do it whenever it works for you.
Yes,
but
sir.
I like in the morning, but and she does too. But she gets up later, and so by the time she's up, I'm already ready to fight the devils. You know, he's already been fought and defeated.
Yeah,
but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about what he's throwing at me. But so, and then and I want to, you know, I'm excited and I want to talk about what God's doing or something we're going to do or something like that. She's like, I just need my time with Jesus. I'm like, okay, I respect that. Amen. Amen. Because I know, and she knows, that both of us are easier to get along with if we'll let each other have that time.
Yeah,
I told her the other day something about, you know, I need my time with Jesus. I'll be a better husband or something like that. And she said, take some time, take some time. Amen. It's all true whether you want to admit it or not. Strength of spirit enables you to do several things. One, enables you to stand your ground. I'm talking about against temptation. I'm talking about the flesh. I'm talking about Satan's wiles. I'm quoting really from Ephesians 6. Remember he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he said, put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
Why? That you may be able to stand against these things, the wiles of the devil.
Yep. Come on.
When temptation comes and you or I give in, it's because we were weak. The temptation was stronger than our spirit at the moment. So it enables us to stand our ground. It also, according to later in that chapter, it enables us, gives us the power to wield the sword of the Spirit. Remember, he said, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's how Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness, isn't it? It enables us to lay hold of and hold fast to our rights and privileges in Christ. I've had battles, so to speak, with attacks against my physical body before, where there was such temptation, just give up and just do something in the natural, you know, go to the doctor or something. I'm not preaching against doctors. I just know I've learned that I've got a cure all that'll fix this.
Amen.
I'd go to the doctor if I needed to go to the doctor, and you should go to the doctor if you need to go to the doctor.
Yes,
but I just knew in this case, I got it. Amen. But see, there was temptation to give up.
Yeah.
Just do something in the flesh.
Yes, come on.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
But I stood my ground. And I kept taking that sword and answering those thoughts and those feelings and those impulses to just give up.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't working, giving up.
Yeah.
I remember one of the greatest battles, that was probably four years ago or whatever. I just kept on. I walked the floor at night just praising God, and it would hurt. And I'd say, nope, Mr. Devil, I am not giving in. And I just kept taking that sword to him, kept taking that sword of the divine healing word to him. And I never forget it one night when I was doing that, just something just began to flow. It was a neck problem. Just something began to flow into my neck, and it just began to fade away. By the morning, 90% of it was faded away, and the rest of it faded away after that.
Amen.
It takes strength, though, to not give it up. Takes strength of spirit. And so that's another thing that strength of spirit enables you to do. It enables you to wield that sword of the Spirit. It enables you to lay hold of the rights and privileges you have in Christ. It enables you to exercise faith and the God kind of love and the authority of the believer. It enables you to be courageous, like he told Joshua, be strong and very courageous. It enables you to bear much fruit. It enables you to run your race and keep responding to the call of God on your life whenever the flesh doesn't want to do it anymore. Amen. It'll renew your ability to keep on running. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, with strength as eagles. They shall run.
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 Run. And not be weary.
Amen.
He's talking about running your race.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
I'm 50 years old. And I'm ready to run.
Yeah.
Run. I'm not over the hill. I'm just getting started.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Come on, brother. Run.
Amen.
Well, I just seem can't get. I just God's been talking to me about it, but I can't seem to get going on it. You got to build yourself up on the inside. Praise the Lord. When you're weak spiritually, you give in to temptation. You'll give in to quitting and the flesh and all of that. You'll know what to do, but you just don't have the ability to do it. Okay, second thing that'll happen by waiting on the Lord. Another blessing will be, let's skip that one. I'm going to go to the third one because I'm about out of time. Another blessing that'll come by waiting on the Lord in prayer, spending time in His presence like we've been talking about, is that another problem will be fixed in a lot of people's lives, and that is this. Some Christians, and I meet them sometimes, they live in almost a perpetual state of spiritual frustration, dissatisfaction, unfulfillment, and discouragement on the inside. A lot of times that's the reason they're grumpy, unbecoming with other people. Hello? And just life in general, they're just sort of negative on it. They're sort of a pessimist about it. They've met so many mean people, and people been unfaithful to them, and, you know, I just don't really care anymore.
Come on.
Frustrated? Let's go ahead and shuck the corn before we go. Hello. Their spirits, a lot of times, they're blaming other people. They'll take their frustration out on other people. They blame it on the circumstances of life or all the problems I've had. You know, nobody's had as many problems as me, which is nothing but spiritual pride.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Bible says there's no temptation taken you or I, but such as is common to man. All those spiritual proud people ought to quote that. They ought to put that on their refrigerator. What I'm going through is nothing nobody else hasn't gone through. And a little note under that, they whipped it.
They whipped it.
And they're living a good life, fulfilled, satisfied on the inside, full of the joy of the Lord, full of the blessings of God. Amen. But a lot of these people, they blame it on other people and life in general. But praise the Lord. It's not really that. That's not the real issue. The real issue is their spirit never gets what he needs and what he wants in times of real fellowship with God. Amen. This is one reason. Their spirits are dissatisfied because they seldom give him what he wants and what he's hungry for. They go in and out of bad attitudes. Some people just live life that way. Some people, they sort of go in and out of it. Other people just live life that way. Just sort of frustrated. And it's all coming out of a dissatisfied spirit. They try to satisfy it with entertainment, recreation, 14 bags of Doritos or whatever. Movies and Hollywood and whatever their flesh wants. Hello. And they still just ain't satisfied. And they're going to let you know it.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You've met them. Hope you haven't seen them in the mirror whenever you were there. And you know what I'm talking about? And so the spirit man is frustrated and unfulfilled because he never gets what he really wants. He wants some things. He wants to dominate you. He wants fellowship with God and the Holy Spirit. He wants the inner witness to have its way with you. He's hungry for the light and revelation of the Word and for you to allow that light to dominate you. Amen. It's that revelation from the Word and from the Holy Spirit within that feeds him. And he craves that. He craves that partaking of the life of God through the Word and through waiting on God. He craves that. He needs that. I get up. There's plenty of times I get up in the morning and it's like, if I don't have this, I'm not any good to anybody today. You know what I'm talking about? I got to have it. You might think, Pastor's just, I don't know, all that in a bag of chips. He's got it. He's strong. So, but without this, I'm nobody. Just like you. Amen. I need that living bread. Amen. I need the food of heaven. I need the fellowship of the Spirit. I need His life to rise up on the inside of me, and His strength to come up on me, and His direction and the inner witness to be, so to speak, reborn every day. I need that. Without that, I'm nothing. I don't know how to make right decisions. I don't know which way to go. I don't know. I'm just... Tell your neighbor, you know he's talking about you just as well as himself. Isn't that right? And so I need that. You need that. Praise the Lord. That food, that bread, that fellowship with the Spirit that he needs. But if he never gets that, he's constantly frustrated and dissatisfied. You cheated me. You cheated me. You're not giving me what I need on the inside, what I'm hungry for, the revelation of God. And he wants time in the presence of God to absorb that into his being. Yes, he needs that. He cannot guide you. He cannot get your attention. He cannot give you the strength to dominate your flesh without what he needs. Yes. So people are living in, they're overcome by the flesh and overcome by, you know, the temptations and making wrong decisions, and they're overcome by things, and the inward man just is more frustrated because I got what you need. If you give me what I need, I'll give you what you need. Amen. Even when you and I don't understand, our spirit is to get his way. He's to be responded to, and the Holy Spirit within him is to be allowed to dominate you and me. Amen. Even when our minds don't understand it. Amen. We're to follow the Holy Spirit and what our spirit is hungry for. So, because people don't give him what he needs, he's constantly dissatisfied. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like your stomach, never getting quite a meal. Maybe, I don't know, let's just use a silly illustration. Maybe just all you ever give is go out in the yard and give it grass to eat or something. How many of you know your stomach is going to be constantly growling and grumpy and you're not giving me what I need. I'm
come on.
Same thing with your spirit, man. Hello. So because he doesn't get what he needs, then he's not strong and he can't rule you. And he wants to help you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You got to learn to listen to it. When he wants time in fellowship and you say, I got to watch my favorite show. You got to turn off that one-eyed monster. Whenever he says, get off Facebook and spend some time with me, you got to give him what he wants.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Give him what he wants.
Sir.
I'm not saying you can't have any recreation. You know better than, you've heard me talk about how God has taught me that if you'll get the plan of God secured and the desires of your spirit man satisfied, then he'll enable you to enjoy some of the other things of life. But you just have to learn to put first things first. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
So listen to him. Allow him to have his way. Allow him to dominate you. Allow him to, the inner witness to dominate you, because he's in contact with the Holy Spirit and he knows when you're not listening to him. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So let's learn that.
Amen. Yes,
I don't know about you. I can talk about me. I can't talk about you. But I imagine you're a whole lot like I am, that whenever you don't get your spirit satisfied, you're not as nice to people. Isn't that right? The classic illustration is Brother Andre telling his students, what grade are they, eighth grade?
High school,
he said, you better, because, you know, you're one of those Jesus guys, you know, they were trying to make fun of him. And he says, you better be glad I spend my time with Jesus every morning, because if I don't, I'm going to throw you out that window. Get so frustrated with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
How many of you know what I'm talking about? You can get so frustrated with people, especially if you're weak.
Yes, sir.
How about your husband or your wife or your kids?
Yes, sir.
Those rascals, I don't know whose kids they are. You know, spank, 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 spank. Well, it might be partly your attitude that they're reacting to. Oh, no, not you, your spouse. I'm sorry. Sometimes he'll pick up things, I'm talking about your spirit, he'll pick up things from the Holy Spirit, and he'll try to pass it on to you through your spirit, he'll try to pass it on to your mind. But if you override it and don't respond to it, it shuts him down. It's like he's sort of set aside. You know what I'm talking about? It's like he's not responded to. He's held captive to the lust of the flesh or the rational mind. No, I'm going to do it this way, or I'm going to just do it my way. You understand what I'm talking about? And that puts out the light on the inside. And then he's dissatisfied. Because the spirit of man's the candle of the Lord. Isn't that right? Well, anyway, we got two of them out. I had four of them, but we got some of them out. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and give our spirit man what he wants. What do you say?
Amen.
Even when your head goes, let me just explain it this way. There are times whenever I just started, I was telling Pastor Debbie this, started about a month or two ago, whatever it was. I said, I just have this, really kind of started around vacation, whatever that was, a month or two. I just got this insatiable, I always am hungry for the word and God's presence. But I kept saying, I got this insatiable desire. It's almost like I need four times right now what I had been needing. I don't know if it's exactly, I just need a whole lot more right now. And I'm feeding it's just been gradually getting me to where he wants me to be. And somebody said, what's it all about? I don't know. But it pays to respond to that, because sometimes it's because he's getting you ready to take a huge step of faith.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Or there is a big trial coming or something, and you're going to be glad you didn't grieve the Holy Ghost in your spirit and you didn't just set aside the desire that your spirit had for the word.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's not a good time. When you're in the middle of test and trial, is not a good time to play catch up.
Come on. Yeah.
You know, like Pastor Nancy said, whenever the test is due, when you go to school and it's test day, that's not the day to start studying. I mean, you know, way back, all those classes and all those notes should have been just studying. Amen. Hallelujah. So whether your mind understands it or not, you just let the spirit man have what he wants. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. You'll be glad you did. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.